The history-making 2019 election is now over, and the analysis is beginning with an eye towards 2020. Joining us now live by phone is Dr. Bob Denton, Virginia Tech professor and WFIR political analyst. Dr. Bob, and a good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us. Now, Dr. Bob, I'm going to turn it over to anchor reporters Ian Price and Gene Moreno. They're live in our studio with some more questions. Guys, if you would.
Good morning, Bob. It's Gene Moreno. Let's talk about the Democrats flipping the House of Delegates. Your reaction, and what was the key in the contested districts? And did the 11 districts that had been redrawn by court order have a lot to do with this?
It had a lot to do with it. There's no question about that. And giving an advantage, 11 of the 26, as you know, gave it a Democratic advantage anywhere from about 2.7%, almost as high as 32%. And so, yes, that's certainly a factor. But you got to give it to the Democrats. So they certainly demonstrated enthusiasm, a difference there. Turnout, some areas as high as 56%. Certainly the contested races was high. The Democrats actually outperformed some expectations. Even on Election Day, some of the Republicans thought, look, okay, the Senate's gone. We lost it. Too much to defend. But we still have a chance to keep it close in the House. And that didn't materialize. So the Democrats had a good night. Money, outside money, made a difference. Enthusiasm, turnout. Believe it, Trump was on the ballot.
Before I toss it to Ian, I wanted to ask you one other question. We were noticing some of the demographics, like, for instance, Speaker of the House Kirk Cox. His district has changed dramatically, I guess, after that redistricting vote where he has a much higher minority population in his group and a lot higher of a shift to what would normally be Democratic. And he only won by 4%. Can you see possibly where someone like a Cox and maybe some of the other Republicans might consider retiring after this session?
Well, it might be. I certainly see that when you look at the long-term aspect of Commonwealth Virginia statewide. Of course, it's been Democrat. The idea is 140 different kind of races. Is there some dynamics there? And so that certainly would be part of the calculus. But notice what he did. He did not mention Trump. He kept it about his ties to the community. He talked about kitchen table issues, make it local, local, local. The Democrats were very successful in nationalizing the races, even at the local level. And that's one of the takeaways for the Democrats for 2020.
Dr. Bob, this is Ian speaking. The state Senate is now 21-18 in favor of the Democrats. That's a small swing, but the Republicans, as you said, knew they were going to lose it. It was a 2019 majority for them. Just go into detail a little bit about what happened with the state Senate.
Well, in terms of, I'm sorry, what happened to the in the state Senate?
Yeah, where did Republicans really lose ground as far as that slim majority they had?
Well, it was absolutely in terms of the suburbs, in terms of Richmond. Look at Nova and the Hampton Roads. It has become much more blue. People who are coming in, they tend to be more Democratic in terms of the new registrations. And also the millennials now are the largest voting cohort. They're not voting at the levels of the baby boomers, those of us who are left, but they're certainly becoming more active and almost at the 50% of those who are registered. So we're seeing a change in terms of the demographics that is true nationwide, but certainly with here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. So when you look at the map, the Northern Virginia, Hampton Roads, and now the Richmond suburbs, as it continues to creep, it becomes more blue. And so it was just absolutely a matter of demographics in the voting that really changed the Senate for sure.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Denton, a WFR political analyst and Virginia Tech professor. I'm just wondering what this means come January, Bob, when the 2020 General Assembly session gavels to order. Do the Democrats have to avoid doing, you know, spiking the ball and doing the victory dance and going so far to the other side that, so far towards our agenda, perhaps, that nothing gets done because the Republicans are, just going to put up a big fight?
No, I think when you look at the 15 that were elected 2 years ago, when you look at the Democrats of today, they've got fire in their belly, as it says. I don't think you can underestimate the dramatic impact that this will have across all the various issues. The question is, absolutely, how progressive will they be and how aggressive their legislative agenda will be? I think it will absolutely be a cause célèbre, and I think that they will go straight forward in a very dramatic fashion. As someone said, oh my goodness, California is coming to Virginia, and I had to laugh a little bit, but I don't think it's an overstatement to say that this is a sea change as it relates to this upcoming session in the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Bob, it's hard to remember the last time Republicans had to operate as a minority party in the General Assembly. How cooperative do you think Republicans in Richmond will be, especially compared to when you see like House Republicans in the minority in D.C.?
Well, that's going to be an interesting question indeed. They certainly, when you look at their particular district, remember there are 141 individual little districts there, and that they will have to do the calculus in terms of re-election. Southside and Southwest Virginia seems to be fairly stable and appears to be fairly stable in the future. That's going to be an individual calculus, and it's actually going to see who emerges among the Republicans. What is their bench? And the Democrats are going to have to learn in terms of new leadership. They haven't been in a leadership position. How do they also, if they want to, try to connect with Republicans and work together on some particular issues? But the hot-button issues is where the fireworks are going to go. So is there trust? How will the Democrats lead? That's going to be take time to figure out. And I think it's going to be a very interesting session come January, without question.
We're talking with Dr. Bob Denton, Virginia Tech professor and WFIR political analyst, a very busy man these days. I wanted to ask you, again, going back to the legislative agenda, for instance, gun control. The Crime Commission is set to release its bipartisan support on gun control measures November 18th, so General Assembly members will be back in Richmond. That's in the aftermath of the Virginia Beach mass shooting. And I would imagine that not a whole lot's probably going to get done on November 18th, but you could see, as far as gun control, you could see really Democrats, taking the lead on the issue in the new session?
Absolutely, taking the lead. And here's what's critical. When you're in power, you control the committees. And when you control the committees, you control what gets to the floor to a vote. That's the critical thing. And what is different now is, look, the Democrats had many different proposals. They had bills, and Republicans did too, as related to mental health and things like that. But now when you get votes that come to the committee, get out of the committee, there will be votes on the floor, and who controls the votes? There it is, and we have a governor who will certainly sign that legislation. And so that's what makes this very different. You'll see legislation that has already been proposed in the past and favored by Democrats per se, but it will now come out of committee, not killed in committee. It will go out to a real vote. And that's what's going to make the difference up and down the line, issue by issue by issue.
You mentioned the governor, Governor Northam. I wanted to bring this up. Talk about the rebirth of Governor Northam. Here's a guy that, you know, in February went underground after the whole blackface scandal. Now, last night, he's leading blue wave cheers. He's on TV this morning, very calm, a lot more measured than last night, talking about the agenda. A lot of Democrats were afraid he was going to drag the ticket down, but he certainly had a little bit of a rebirth with this whole election.
Absolutely, and he's now the king maker. He can finish on a strong note. He's the one that will take credit for signing these initiatives. And it is a rebirth for him, an image restoration. There's no question about that. And whether there's a little bit of hypocrisy or not, one can debate that over the water cooler. But the fact of the matter is that he certainly did not hurt the Democrats. It certainly did not seem to be a factor. And yet now he is in a position where he can take a lot of credit going forward, saying that he, quote, signed and enacted a change within the Commonwealth of Virginia. So he's positioned himself very well.
Dr. Bob, going back to legislation, other than gun control, we know some of the priorities for Democratic lawmakers might be like minimum wage, ratifying the Equal Rights Amendment, passing the votes to get that through. But, I mean, if you had to specifically pick a couple issues that you think Democrats in Richmond are going to really start to push forward, like other than gun control, what do you think the main focus is going to be?
Oh, I think it's going to be a wide range of health care, abortion. We talked about even the right to work may be there without question. The ERA you already mentioned. But the whole health care, Medicaid, even further extension perhaps, but certainly without a work requirement. And so you're going to see the wide range of all the basic, whether it's health and education, you're going to see a different perspective as they approach each and every one of those various sets of issues. But certainly abortion is going to be right there in terms of health care and providing an access. And you're also going to see some community rights, minority rights, and some of the legislation there. And, of course, the Equal Rights Amendment would be a hallmark and a cause célèbre for the Democrats, I think, fairly early.
We're talking with Bob Denton, Virginia Tech professor, WFR political analyst. Just a few more minutes here, Bob. I wanted to ask you about the census and the redistricting process. After the 2020 census, there'll be the redistricting process, and the Democrats will be in control. You know, there's been a lot of complaints from Democrats about the last few times the Republicans have drawn those districts. This puts the spotlight on them to be more bipartisan after all those complaints. They're going to be in the focus and the spotlight when it comes to redrawing those districts.
There's absolutely, you hit that right on, because what's going to be fascinating to see, for all the years that they've called for a bipartisan kind of commission that will do the redistricting, will they hold that same path now or not? Historically, absolutely. If you had control, you control the redistricting. You had a major input into it, which had a decade or more of impact. And so it's actually going to be very interesting to see how Democrats do approach this. But how much input a commission or bipartisan may or may not have, it's still, they are in control of the process with the potential of absolutely a decade or more out with impact and influence. So it's kind of nuanced. We'll see how the Democrats go forward on that particular issue.
Dr. Bob, elsewhere in governor's races in Kentucky, the GOP incumbent lost despite having the president come in for some last-minute campaigning, but Republicans do seem to have won all the other elections in Kentucky last night. So I just have to ask, was this a sign that Democrats are kind of gaining ground, or more like Matt Bevin is just a widely unpopular governor?
Well, I think there are two factors. I do think that he, as governor, and his reputation, but do understand nationalizing Trump, and this may offend some of the particular listeners, but he is so divisive, and especially on a key voting block, and that's women. Women vote more than men by 54-55%, especially as you look at the suburbs. Trump is very much equally in the ballot. And that was a strategic decision to have Trump come in. Actually told me he was in trouble, to really try to make sure to stir up that particular base. The argument that impeachment is another way to stir up the Republican base, we didn't see that yesterday necessarily. So Kentucky is still, yes, very Republican. The governor was troubled, yes, indeed. But also understand that that is a statement as it relates to women and as they perceive Trump as he goes forward. And so whether he helps or hurts, he's on the ballot, even at the local level.
Yeah, coming back to Virginia, and we just have about a minute and a half left, or 2 minutes left. I wanted to ask you, can you read into the tea leaves, Bob, about what happened in Virginia last night, and say that President Trump's going to have a hard time carrying the state next year, or is it too far ahead of time?
Well, of course, there were so many of us that were so wrong last time that you're always very hesitant as you look forward. But again, in terms of a snapshot as of today, when your favorables are where they are as president, from a historical perspective, that simply does not look well. Now, there's a lot of dynamics. How progressive and how far do the Democrats go making their decision of who he goes against? So it comes down in terms of kind of a parity. But Donald Trump has a core among Republicans, but he's losing among the independents, and also he's losing some of the evangelicals, and especially as it relates to women. And so right now, it's a very tough fight. And when you look at Virginia from a statewide perspective, no, it's blue. It's very, very difficult to see how any Republican can really have an impact in terms of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
So basically, the last 10 seconds, can we expect to see big money and a lot of national figures in the state within the next year campaigning?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, remember, 2015, $32 million. This time, we're probably in excess of $60 million. 30% of the Democratic money was outside money. Thank you, Bloomberg. Thank you, Angie's List. And you can go down, even environmental interest groups.
Mm-hmm.
This was record-breaking without question.
Dr. Bob Denton, thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, as always.